This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello, and again, welcome to another international presentation of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again. You know, today as Christians, we're constantly reminded to be vigilant, aren't we? We're reminded to be, well, alert, to make sure that we're committed, that we're dedicated, that we're on our guard, we're on point, we're on our game, as many would say, because, quite frankly, the world, my friends, you know it as well as I do, is indeed changing. And we as Christians are finding ourselves, I think, and you would all agree with me, that we're in conflict more and more with the trends that we see developing in our day-to-day pop culture. Here just recently, you know it as well as I do, the Supreme Court of the United States redefined the inclusion of what a marriage is defined as. That's right, they rescinded the Defense of Marriage Act to include homosexual relationships as also part and parcel to legitimize marriage. In addition, atheists recently unveiled a monument there in the city of Stark, Florida, I think in Bradford County, where in the public square they unveiled this statue to essentially pay homage to the idea that God is dead, that there is no God, quite frankly. In addition, we find that Mr. David Silverman, the president of the AAA, and I don't mean the American Automobile Association, I mean the American Atheist Association, claims that in addition, he has funding available for 50 more of these monuments that he is going to unveil in certain parts of the United States, all paying homage to this idea that, frankly, there is no God. On the international scene, I think many of us are well aware of the fact that Middle Eastern spring is still blooming, isn't it? Oh, yes, my friends. And many of these, what you could say, rogue nations are emboldened, especially since China and Russia are continuing to emerge as powers to contend with and express much disrespect and very distrusting rhetoric toward the United States. And this is problematic, because the United States, for all intents and purposes, you know as well as I do, is essentially a power that has been a very big and important balance to the geopolitical arena of planet Earth for many, many years. And a world without the United States, quite frankly, as it continues to struggle for an identity in strengthening and securing its foreign policy, is going to be quite different, especially if indeed they do not find some place to land to strengthen their foreign policy. Because time is, while they continue to grapple with this, slipping away. Foreign governments notorious for human rights violations are in fact growing stronger in their voice. So, my friends, there's this sense, this notion that something is growing. There's some danger developing. There are tensions building that has given birth to the idea of many people being quite concerned and preoccupied with, of all things, protection, self-preservation, investigating places where they may have a place of safety of some sort, some place where they can protect their loved ones, protect their assets. And a lot of what's been feeding into this, not to mention what we just mentioned, but in addition, Hollywood, with all the end-of-the-world scenario movies that have been coming out here recently, along with the internet, and for that matter, even video games, my friends, that continue to promote this kind of idea that the world is going to end, along with many books, a prodigious amount of books, all kinds of books that illustrate this end-of-the-world scenario, that civilization, as we know it, is going to end, and has given birth to a whole new group of people. You know what I'm talking about, these folks that are called preppers, Did you ever see some of these movies on Discovery or maybe on the History Channel where these folks are collecting? I mean, they're collecting food. They're collecting water. They've got guns and ammo. They even have bomb shelters in the back of their yards that they're intending on living to avoid the horrific conditions of this tribulation that allegedly is going to come on Earth. One guy I even saw actually bought from the United States government a bunk that was formerly used as a nuclear ballistic missile silo, where 17,000 square feet underground with 5-foot iron doors is going to protect him, his family, and his loved ones there to hopefully get away from the horrific events that are going to, as I say, come on planet Earth that is going to threaten the lives of billions and billions of people. So I understand, but you know, with all of this going on, I understand how people can be fearful about these things and be preoccupied with them and be concerned about how they're going to protect their loved ones, their own lives, and essentially have some place of safety to get out from underneath all of the bombs and the bullets that are going to drop. I want to talk a little bit about this subject and essentially present to you the question today that I'd like to really address in some detail. And that question is very simply, where is your place of safety? But before we get started, I want to interrupt myself, as we normally do here on the Armor of God, and present to you our free offers on today's program. We have two. Both are free for your asking. All you've got to do is dial that 888 number 578-8791. Ask the operators for both of these free offers, The Way of Escape. You can easily read this particular little piece in approximately, one sitting, maybe a half hour or so, but it will definitely give you more information in regards to the topic that I'm talking about and help you to better understand more details of what I'm trying to explain. Along with that, that will also be complimentary to this presentation, is a one-hour presentation before a live audience on the subject titled, Where is your place of safety? That's right. Ask for both of these free articles. Don't forget about that website there at www.cgi.org. And let me remind you of that webcast feature we have every Saturday. Look at our homepage, get the times there available, and click on the link there at the time posted and rendezvous with us to share some time with a speaker there speaking about the Bible, some minister or individual who may be even visiting the home office there in Tyler, Texas, giving some kind of dissertation on biblical principles. Again, one more time now for both of these offers, the Way of Escape and the one-hour presentation, Where is Your Place of Safety? You can make contact with our operators at 888-578-8791 and that website there, www.cgi.org. Now, let's get back to the program and pick up on where we left off. We've been talking, for those of you who are just tuning in, about conditions of the world that are surrounding us, Christians specifically, that are causing individuals a certain amount of angst, a certain amount of stress over where is the world going. We cited the rescinding of the DOMA Act here recently by the Supreme Court of the United States, the erection and unveiling of atheist monuments of all things, basically these individuals thumbing their nose at God, claiming he doesn't exist, that God is dead, and that we're just, I guess, all products of lovesick amoeba. And then, of course, we add that into the observations many of us have regarding the Middle Eastern spring that's going on, the toppling of regimes of some of these rogue nations, and, of course, the threatening rhetoric coming out of Russia and China and, of course, North Korea, and, frankly, in some cases, the distrust and suspicion that the United States has fallen under due to the fact of getting caught red-handed with their hand in the cookie jar via the NSA, now confirmed that America is a spy nation, even spying on some of their allies like the United Kingdom of all things and even the European Union. Not that anybody else isn't spying, if you know what I mean. I mean, China's probably more guiltier with that kind of stuff. You know it as well as I do. But, in all fairness, they haven't gotten caught, have they? We did. And so, therefore, the United States is by far much more guilty in the eyes of the world. But here's my point. All of this goes to feeding this insatiable, never-ending appetite about this idea of protection. You have, again, I mentioned books regarding the end-time scenarios, like the Left Behind series by Tim LaHaye and his friend Mr. Jenkins, or Hal Lindsey, the late great Planet Earth, along those lines, and of course even the Schofield Bible, of all things, my friends, of which stated one of these methods that assures Christians, many of you evangelicals know what I'm about to say, many of you Protestants know what I'm about to say, not so many of you Catholics, but I have to admit evangelicals and Protestants know exactly where I'm going with this, because it was legitimized. That is, this method of this place of safety and where people are going to be protected, you know what I'm talking about, was printed in the Schofield Bible. That's right. And here it is, the rapture. Oh, yes, my friends, the rapture is in the Bible, the Schofield Bible, that is. And the question is it really a legitimate place of safety? Is it really as alleged in the Bible? Does the Bible promise the fact that Christians are going to be wafted off to heaven onto the sea of glass, their clothes being folded up on the seat next to whoever they were, if they were in a car or in an airplane, and for the duration of time that they believe, be able to avoid the tribulations? Is that really in your Bible? And, oh, I've got another scenario of protection that is kind of floating around among many Christian organizations, and actually primarily among Sabbatarian Christian organizations. And what I mean by that is those Christians that keep Saturday for Sunday, these individuals believe that they're going to be whisked, not wafted, whisked away to some physical place. That's the difference. That's the key difference. To a physical place to be protected physically from all of the harm and destruction and the horrific events that are promised to come upon this earth to destroy millions and millions of folks, as presented in the prophetic writings of much of your Bible pertaining to the end of the world. Oh yeah, there was a matter of fact, there was an organization, rather large organization, many years ago called the Worldwide Church of God, that promoted the fact that you were going to be taken off to a place called Petra. Now, Petra, for those of you who don't know where that is, it's over there in the land of Jordan. And frankly, today is indeed one of these locations known to be a tourist attraction of all things. But the teaching went that you were going to go ahead and be taken over there to Petra via some kind of airplane. And thousands were going to stay there in those caves with some kind of protective bubble around Petra, or maybe a wall of angels that would protect them from the incoming slot of all kinds of weaponry that would completely obliterate them if indeed they didn't have that protection. And yet, you know what is so befuddling about this? People believe these things in spite of what the Bible says about certain contrarian ideas. Let me give you an example here for a moment. If you have your Bibles, turn with me over here to Luke chapter 21. I want to just point something out. This is the chapter that Jesus is talking about the end times. And Jesus is portraying here some benchmark events that would tell you that you're in the end times. One of these events that he finally tumbles to here in verse 20, Luke 21, verse 20, he states it as follows. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is near. So when Jerusalem is compassed with armies, completely surrounded by foreign powers, and we're told even in more detail back in Daniel chapter 11, verse about 41, 42 or so, where this king of the north is going to invade, that's right, invade the Middle East and actually not only invade but occupy the glorious land. We know that to be Palestine, where the Jews are. Yes, that's right, my friends. The Jews stand again to not only be invaded, but to be hauled off into captivity, and that land to be occupied by the king of the north. So says, not me, not Bill Watson, so says the prophet Daniel in chapter 11, verse about 41, 42. You can read it there. So what Jesus is referencing is that very prophetic event right here in those latter times. And lo and behold, look what he says. He says this. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Get out of Dodge. Don't stay there. If you're in that area, in Jerusalem, get out, is what Jesus says. Notice this, he goes on further and details those who should depart, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. So if you're in Jordan, if you're in Syria, hopefully you're not in Syria, but if you are, or maybe in the Golan Heights, somewhere in the surrounding areas also, get out of there. Don't stay there. That's a hot spot. Move, Jesus says, and depart and get out of there as quick as you can, if indeed you're there at the time of this event. And then notice the third category. He says here, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. What's that all about? That means that if you're in an outside country, if you're in the United States, don't go to the Middle East. If you're in Canada, stay in Canada. If you're up there in the, the wilderness, the northwest wilderness of Alaska, or over there on the Pacific Rim in Japan, or down in South America, or over in Africa, South or North Africa, do not go there, my friends, is what Jesus is recommending when this event occurs, because it becomes a hot spot that you don't want to be at. But now let's continue here for a moment in Luke chapter 21. I want to continue here in this scenario because it becomes important, I think, for all of us to recognize the sequence of events to see if indeed there is such a thing as a rapture, or for that matter, a departure, a physical departure, to some location physically that one is intending to be protected in. Because Jesus now is about to undertake a narrative describing many benchmarks of these latter days and what one can expect. So you would think something as significant and as big and important to his followers, to his Christians, you would think he would itemize it, that he would articulate the distinction of it happening, give it some time, give it some press. Well, let's see if it's in here in Luke chapter 21. And in verse, we'll pick up where we left off, 22. He says, "These are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Woe unto them that are pregnant and that are giving suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people." And that is, of course, those people in the area, as well as his people in the world, because we understand also, I won't turn there, but I certainly will reference it. You can look it up later in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse about 21 and 25. You will find that the beast actually prevails against God's people. He actually, in verse 25, states he wears them out. Oh yeah, the beast, that is the king of the north, and the false prophet, that regime, that Babylonian mystery power that is ultimately destined to take over the world, will literally persecute Christians, individuals who adhere to their allegiance to Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Jesus is going to expound this very point as he continues here in this narrative. In verse 24, he states, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword." Who? Christians. That's what it says in Daniel. That's what Jesus is saying here in Luke 21. "They shall die by the sword." They'll be led away captive. Oh yeah. "Into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." What's that all about? That's about describing what essentially Daniel describes in chapter 11. This is the time when this king of the north comes in to Jerusalem and trounces the whole area, kills people, makes things a mess, disturbs and destroys. He breaks things, as they say, and kills people. This is war. That's what war is all about. This is what Jesus is describing. Now notice, Jesus continues, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. But before all these things, you shall be wafted away to heaven to be able to avoid." Is that in there? You see it? Come on, do you see it? It's not there, is it? No, it's not there. What happens next in this narrative, Jesus drives his point home very clearly. Notice this. Look. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power, great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. My friends, what Jesus is essentially saying is that when you see these things come and begin to unfold, get ready, because there is going to be great betrayal, there is going to be martyrdom of Christians, and of course, those that remain alive, and for whatever reason, because I'm going to get to this point in a moment, that they are protected, that if they're alive, they should look up with confidence, knowing full well that their redemption is very close. Notice this over here in Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, real quickly now. This is the sister chapter, but these are the writings of how Mark reconciled what he saw in his reports. And in chapter 13, and in verse 9, we break into the context. Notice this now as we go ahead and read right here. He says, "But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils in synagogues. They shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my name's sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought. Don't premeditate what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit, essentially, will give you the words through the inspiration of what you understand and what God wants you to say. Now the brother shall betray brother to death, father the son. Children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures unto the end shall be saved. But when you shall see the abomination of desolation," that was what was talked about there in Luke 21, he says here, "where it ought not to stand, then let them that be in Judea," same message, "get out of there, flee to the mountains." And then it talks about how these are going to be days that, in verse 20, if they were not shortened, no flesh should be saved alive. These are terrible times, my friends, times that have never been since mankind has walked this earth. Jesus says there will be false Christs, verse 22. Verse 23, "Take heed, behold, in those days," verse 24, "after that tribulation." Notice, "after that tribulation," he says here, "the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light." Did you get what I just said, my friends? What Jesus is saying is the tribulations actually go through the whole comprehensive scenario, and then after, there's nothing talking about, again, some place of safety being wafted off to heaven or taken over to a place called Petra or some other place, physically speaking, so that you can physically be protected. No, 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 my friends, not at all is the case in this particular narrative, nor is it in Matthew 24, which time has run out on me in that case, and I'm not going to turn there. But I am going to turn over here to the book of Joel. I want to go to the book of Joel real quickly here to just bring something to your attention in chapter 2. Again, the end times are being discussed, but the prophet Joel says, "The sun," in verse 31 of chapter 2 of his book, Joel, "shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." My friends, I'm not saying that there isn't protection. The prophet Joel states that very clearly in this respect, in that he himself has shown that he does, that is, God does promise protection. But here's the point. That's his prerogative. God reserves the prerogative on how he will determine who's going to be protected. Sometimes I think we get the mentality that we are entitled to protection. No, 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 my friends. God promises protection, and if need be, he will protect you right where you are. You can read about that in Psalms chapter 91. You can read about that in other parts of the Bible, like in Psalms 92 and 94 and 95. That's loaded with all kinds of information pertaining to a protection that, if indeed you get and are awarded with, is yours to have. But count this, you can count on this, that it will be not without expectation. If you're being protected, it's just not to save your own skin, my friends. Oh, no, not at all. Friends, time has run out on me. Dial now, 888-578-8791. Ask for the way of escape. And where is your place of safety? Both of these are free for the asking. All you've got to do is dial that number, as I said, 888-578-8791, or that website. You can get it there, www.cgi.org. My friends, your place of safety is in the embrace of a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where you really need to concentrate your efforts. And if you do, you will certainly be able to perhaps have protection in these evil days. But in the meantime, keep on that armor of God.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.